The truth is, there's a fair amount of shit that happens at work that's to be expected. You get fired, you work overtime, your boss is a dick. None of that's right, but it's fairly common. And then you go home and you talk to your friends about it, and they can totally relate. And then every once in a while, something will happen at work that's flabbergasting. You have no idea what is happening, let alone what to do about it. My friend, you're experiencing a true workplace conundrum. Welcome to Bitch Out of Water, a show where we talk about new experiences. Sometimes good, sometimes bad, and sometimes WTF. We're the World Girls. I'm Roxy. That's Steph.
Conundrum is one of those words that sounds like what the definition is.
For sure. Like, if you didn't speak English and you heard conundrum, you would know off the top of your head what that meant.
There's a problem.
Yeah, I'm with you. This is Darina.
Everybody's working for the weekend. Except some of us work weekends.
Yeah, we're working on the weekend right now. As we record this, we are working on the weekend. Which is fun for us because we get to be world girls. And it's also fun because by comparison, this is the absolute best job we have ever had. And the three of us have worked tons of different jobs, from the music industry to real estate to hosting to restaurants to everything in the entertainment industry to retail to everything in between. So in all of our years in the workforce, we have experienced a lot of conundrums. Dee, can you tell me a little bit about a conundrum you faced?
Well, as y'all know, I've had many different types of jobs in entertainment, in tech, in hospitality, and I faced many conundrums as an employee, especially when I was administrating a team. When you're actually a manager of a group of people, that's when the conundrums seem to get a little crazy, because then people come to you with their conundrums. And it's interesting how, I'm sure you all relate to this, that most of the quejas, is the word that we use in Spanish, of the complaints that I used to get when people would ask me for, you know, office hours to chat about their cubicle neighbor and the issues that they had. They were all very much like kind of high school problems. It was very, you know, gossipy. And, you know, I just don't like when you have these modern open office plans in a lot of companies nowadays, it's kind of impossible for everybody to get along with each other. From the, you know, the person that has misophonia and can't handle the person next to them eating a sandwich or peanuts, right? All the way to just somebody just being obnoxiously loud. Like, there's all of these little issues, but the biggest issues, one of the ones that I really remember is I was very lucky to work with a very diverse team. We literally had people from India, from Germany, from Egypt, a lot of Latinos like myself. And it was a really cool way to learn about the best restaurants in Los Angeles. But it also made for a lot of cultural differences and how we talk to each other at work and what is polite and what is acceptable or not. So I remember one of our newer recruits came in and basically tried to be a little, you know, social and try to kind of get in with the crowd and be likable, and ended up being a little weirdo, at least weirdo to the Americans that were there, right? Because he was not American. And so he would end up saying weird things to the ladies in my team, kind of like, oh, well, you guys are just like that because you're girls, right? Which isn't necessarily, I know. Which, what do you do there, right? Because, you know, that's not an awful thing to say, right? It's kind of like if somebody asks you, oh, so like you can't beat me at Mario Kart because you're a girl. It's not like the person is this awful sexist misogynist, right? But it is like a stereotype that nowadays isn't as acceptable, especially in the American workplace. So because of this, and this is, by the way, this is hearsay, this is what I heard. These ladies came to me privately and asked me to talk to me about this. And they told me what happened. And I was worried because they looked very serious and they were very worried. And then I realized, I was like, look, this is not a big deal. I had to I had to sit there patiently and listen, because that's the best thing you can do as a manager, is just listen to their complaints, and then had to kind of patiently explain, this is a person that is from a different culture. that has not probably even heard of the freaking Me Too movement over here, right? And so that's something that I had to kind of explain to them and be like, I'm not gonna go to the higher ups and get this person fired because they made this little comment to you, right? So it's an interesting thing that I kind of had to like navigate with both parties. And then I also had to sit this guy down and be like, this is kind of what I heard that happened, just to let you know, like, those types of comments can sometimes be a little offensive to people here, right? But we understand that this is a different culture that you come from. So it's all right. I'm just letting you know. And then, surprisingly, in a good way, this man ended up going to these women and apologizing in a sweet way. And then actually, like, things ended up being okay. And everybody ended up going to the Friday happy hour. And it was fine. So it was one of those things that I had to kind of maneuver. But it's such a silly thing that could become such a big thing if nobody takes care of it.
Absolutely. I think you handled that like a champ, D, because on the one hand, is what he's saying appropriate? No, it's not. And we wish that he was more educated on the fact that that's not how you speak to women, let alone people. But at the same time, you know, it's so funny because I feel like sometimes, because I am so jaded based on how I've been treated by men in the workplace. Like, I just pulled up a text message from somebody that I work with, a coworker. I had to go to a work event this past week, and he literally sent me the text, "Wear something special." It's an actual text that I got from a coworker this week. So because that's just part of my everyday men speaking to me life, you're just like this because you're a girl. I wouldn't even bat an eye at because it's like the amount of times I've been spoken to by a man in such an egregious fashion. I feel so jaded to it. So I'm laughing because it's like that should be a big deal, but it's actually compared to the other shit we face, it's a tiny one. And the fact that he was willing to go to them and apologize or speak about it in any way just shows that some people really are ignorant. And if you had come down on him and be like, you're fired, he probably would have hated women after that.
Exactly. I would have turned him into an incel.
Right. But explaining it, there is hope for people. There's hope for people.
Well, and it's interesting because all this whole group, by the way, was much younger than me. So it's also interesting what people get offended by, because none of us, the three of us here, have had awful, way worse actual sexist experiences. And so it's weird that now it's like, you think this was bad? like Gen Z, I love you, but come on.
Wear something special.
Yeah, wear something special, baby girl. No, like when you work in the entertainment industry at all, you know, it must be in every industry, but I can only speak from my own experience that it just is like almost every comment is laced with sexism. And I thank the Lords that I was raised by a big brother, because I don't play that shit. Like, I'll fuck around with them. I'll be like, yeah, it is because I'm a girl. I'm sorry I get to look better than you every day. Like, you ugly piece of shit. Like, whatever. You've learned to fuck around with them. But when you're in a management position, you have to be very careful about being empathetic, which you did, while also having interpersonal communication skills, which you did. And I think that it's like, you can understand that that's not the biggest issue, but it's an issue to them. So you have to handle it.
Yeah. And this is just one of many things that happen. Like, stuff like this happens all the time because people cannot communicate with each other. Like, I feel like back in the day in the workplace, if somebody had an issue with somebody, they would just come up to the person and be like, yo, you know, this is what's going on. Can we talk about it? But nowadays with HR and all these things, nobody talks to anybody, which creates a lot of drama.
You want to talk about it? Let's talk about it.
Yeah. You want to talk about stuff?
D, at the end of the day, I feel like you handled that situation because you're a girl.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes sexism is accurate. You were able to handle that because you're a fucking woman. Yeah, I want to talk about it. Let's talk about it. Steph, what do you got to talk about?
So one thing I've thankfully never had to deal with in the same way again. It was a one and done. I'm glad I don't have to experience it again. But I was working at a studio at the time that I was getting out of a really bad breakup that had turned abusive and scary. And I was really afraid the first few months after the breakup, and I was cautious about what I was doing and where I was going. And then 6 months had passed and I kind of felt like I was in the clear. And it was Valentine's Day and it was a Friday. And I know that because this studio had Friday meetings that ended late at night. And it was about 9 p.m. and I walked to my car and there's a note on the car that's folded and it's small. And I think nothing of it. At first, I must have thought it was a ticket, actually. And I was like, huh, I wonder what that is. That sucks. And I open it and it said just this. It said, love me, period, because I love you. And then on the back, it had 2-14. And that was it. And my first thought was, I thought it was this one guy at my work who would always fuck around like that and just like leave me secret admirer notes. But he would say like from your secret admirer and it'd be very obvious that it was a joke. And I was like, this kind of feels like Dahmer vibes. Like I was like this, the way this note was specifically written is very weird. It's cryptic. I don't even know what it's trying to say. So I didn't even think anything of it. I thought it was someone who went to work with me or saw me park and then go into work. I don't even think I told anyone about it because it was so small. And then about a few days later, I get a DM from my ex, the one that I told you a few moments ago I got out of an abusive situation with. And they wrote me and they were like, he was like, did you get my note? And at that point, I was like, holy shit. And I was like, was that you who left the note? And we had no prior communication. I was like, was that you who left the note on Valentine's Day? And he was like, I can't believe you don't remember my handwriting. Like, just goes into this fury, this passionate fit of fury. And I was like, holy shit. He now is monitoring where I work. I don't feel safe at work. I feel like I'm going to get followed to my house. And I was like genuinely so afraid because now that I knew that that was from him, I was like, this was such a stalker vibe note. Like, holy shit. And I got genuinely afraid and I didn't know what to do. And I like called multiple people about it, Roxy included, my mom included, who has a lot of experience working with victims of stalkers and assault. And she was like, this is bad, not to freak you out, Steph, but this is pretty bad. And so what I did was what I could do. I wasn't going to quit my job and move. I wasn't going to back down in that way, but I had to protect myself. So I got pepper spray and then I had men who I worked with walk me to my car every single day. Daytime, nighttime didn't matter for the following year, I think.
Steph sometimes kind of reminds me of like a smiley face cartoon, because if Steph can choose happiness or like to just avoid whatever signs point to trouble, she will. And I remember her talking to me about this and kind of similar to her mom, not wanting to stress her out more, but Steph being like, how weird is that note? Like, isn't that bizarre? And us being like, bizarre, maybe, like incredibly troubling that he came to your place of work, left you a note that said, love me because I love you, and then messaged you and got mad at you for not knowing that was him when you haven't spoken in half a year. Like, that's not normal vibes. And I remember Steph being like, ooh, really? Okay. Like, what do I kind of do about it?
That's totally it. I was like, that was weird.
Yeah, just that was so weird. And like, I think because you've just had the shit kicked out of you so many times that sometimes it's like, if it's not a blatant ass pounding, you're like, I mean that figuratively, in all the senses. Like, if it's not a blatant like, I'm gonna come murder you, you'll take it as like, okay, keep it pushing. Like,
hence why her travel story was amazing when she got into that sort of taxi.
So. See previous episodes. Yes, plug it, D. But I do think that this is such a bizarre and scary workplace conundrum, because what are you supposed to do? Leave your job? But what are you supposed to do when somebody is coming to your place of employment? And it's also uncomfortable because you had to talk to your coworkers about it. It's like sometimes you don't want to have to share your personal life.
At that point, no one but Roxy had known anything that happened. And I did have to disclose that. That was definitely a part that I hated, because as you two know, I'm very private and I really don't disclose my information to people like that. And I also I picked this story specifically because I know this is an issue with a lot of people struggling with abusive relationships or past relationships. It's a power play. Abusers will do this. They want you to know that they know where you work. They want you to know that they know your schedule, and they want you to be afraid of that. And I didn't realize that until after. So that's why I was like, you just have to be able to communicate with people and just be extra cautious.
Steph, how long did you have to do this or feel like you had to do this where coworkers were kind of walking you to your car and just being there to support, which is, that means you had awesome coworkers.
Yeah, they were great. I would say a year, actually. And
until the pandemic?
Yeah, until the pandemic. Yeah, yeah, definitely. That was exactly it, Rox. So I don't know when it would have stopped.
It could have gone longer.
Yeah, I don't know when it would. I was actually very relieved when I no longer had to go to that place anymore, because I knew then he had no idea where I was working anymore. And that gave me peace for once. But that whole year, I remember even when I drove home, I would look behind me to make sure that I didn't see his car anywhere nearby so that he wouldn't know where my new apartment was.
Okay. Keeping this really fun journey rolling of abuse in the workplace, I've got a great one for you guys. So early on in my career, I had an extremely toxic relationship with my boss, who was a really toxic human being. And it was one of my first jobs in the entertainment industry, to the point where I didn't know how to navigate it at the time. And I think I would have handled it differently now. But at the time, I had a boss who had severe anger management issues. And it was very apparent because he would do things like throw pens across the room or raise his voice in scenarios that really it didn't call for, like nothing was wrong. And I think he used it as a tactic to try to get people to pay attention, where all of a sudden he would just be really loud out of nowhere. And you couldn't even tell what was going on. A lot of slammed doors and things along those lines. Or even, you know, when he would take... When he would move something from one place to the next place, it would like bang it on the table, right? So we always knew he had some anger issues. But there was one night we were working really late and there was an issue with a tech thing that I didn't know how to handle because that's not my department. And I was one of the last people at the studio and he needed help. I was not capable of helping him. It was just, I think, the two of us left. There might have been one other person in the other room. And I was heading out and he was so frustrated that as I was leaving, I was standing and gathering my stuff and he punched a hole in the wall next to my head. A big ass hole into the wall. I stood there. I'm usually really good in situations like this because I'm very good at staying calm, shockingly. It doesn't sound very Boston, but I am. And I remember looking at him. I didn't cry. I didn't whatever. And I said, what you just did was fucking unacceptable. And then I got my stuff and I got out of the studio. And then the next day I had to come back into work. And when I got there, there's a hole in the wall. There's a big hole in the wall. And he said, can I talk to you for a second? And we went into the other room and he was like, I'm really sorry for what I did last night. I was out of control, angry at something that wasn't you. I never would have hurt you. You just happened to be standing where I was standing. And that's why I punched. That's where I was punching. And I hope that you can forgive and we can move forward. And I remember thinking, I think I just said, okay, we'll see how things work out. And then as we went throughout the day, this is one of those studios, there was hundreds of people coming in and out, and if not dozens in that day. And everybody who walked through, what happened to the wall? What happened to the wall? What happened to the wall? And he, I think every time made up a different thing. There was a pipe issue. We heard a rodent, like, and every time there was just a different excuse. And I'm sitting there like, oh my God, this is crazy. And then people started comparing stories, or something happened where people started to think like, that's not what happened. His hand was fucked up, obviously fucked up. And whatever it was, somebody must have said something to his boss. And so his boss looked at the schedule, saw I was working the latest that night, and asked to have a meeting with me and called me in and said, what happened? And I didn't want to rat out my boss, but I also didn't want to lie to my boss's boss. And you have like about 2 seconds to make the decision. And I said, I honestly wasn't in the room for the situation. I'm really not exactly positive what happened. I think there was some issue with the pipes or something. And I'm a very loyal person, and I really wanted to protect this person. And it ended up really biting me in the ass, because later on there was a couple of different really bad anger management issues that happened with him. And I had to end up like 2 years later revealing what happened, and it made me look like a liar. And I really wish I had handled that differently, because I am very close with my boss's boss now, and the person I was being loyal to is somebody that I don't speak to anymore, because he was a raging loon. So it was a big learning lesson to me, regardless of who you are trying to protect, even though Steph knows we don't love snitches in this place, if something happens where people's safety is at risk, even though it's like not in your blood to snitch on somebody and you're being directly asked about it, I really wish I had just said what had happened.
There's levels to snitching game, and I'm glad you said that. Snitches get stitches. However, you were directly asked something and it did involve safety. So it's hard when you're young. You were like just starting there, I think, if I remember correctly, and you don't know what to do and who you should be loyal to. So that's a really hard position to be in.
Yeah. Number one, no pinches mames, güey. And number two, totally. Like, it's interesting too that this is used a lot, but the fact that you're saying this person had anger issues, like, to me, you were describing him as somebody who's just an emotional toddler that doesn't know how to be a person in a professional workplace, right? But that is what somebody that's a boss, that is what we're like, oh, they're just a little bit anger management they might need. But that's not the case. Like, they shouldn't be in that position. People like that should not be in positions of power. Unfortunately, they are everywhere. Hopefully less and less now. But I totally get that at that age, with that career experience, Roxy, like, what else were you going to do? Because you thought that the right thing to do at the moment was like, I want to be loyal to this person, hoping that they would be loyal to you, but most likely they would not do the same for you because of who they are or who they were.
100%. And that was proven time and time again, Darina. That's dead ass accurate. And you are also very right about the term anger management or anger issues. It is so overly used, and really, you might just be a dick.
Right.
You know, people sometimes that are like, you know, I'm when people say, you know, I've got anger problems, it's like, or you could work on yourself, see a therapist, and then be a normal human being. Like, you know, you're saying it like a diagnosis when it's not a diagnosis. It's part of who you are because you're not working on yourself.
Yeah. It's like if you cheat on someone and you're like, I just have like a lot of like trust issues and trauma I'm working through. And it's like, you're a fucking cheater. You're a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to accept that, like, okay, if somebody says I have these issues, but I am going to a therapist or I am learning how to meditate, then all right. But if you're just saying I have these issues, so bear with me and deal with my bullshit, that's completely different.
Yeah. And I didn't know how to read through that at that age. I didn't know how to read. I was like, well, he apologized. Okay. You know, it's a big deal.
Yeah. Because you didn't know. You found out later that he was apologizing, half-ass apology, so you wouldn't rat out on him.
I know. It worked. And I fell right into it. So these are some of our workplace conundrums. We are definitely not the only ones with conundrums. So we asked our world friends, that's you guys out there. We took to Twitter, our Discord, our Patreon, and we wanted to know what your craziest workplace conundrums were. We got some wild responses, so many that we couldn't choose them all, but we did pick some of the great ones. Steph, want to talk to me about Danny M's?
I definitely do. Danny M says, okay, when a company I worked for was acquired, 90% was eventually given an end date where we would be let go. Due to some people leaving, they actually asked me to stay on with the company. Would y'all have stayed? thoughts, maybe similar situations.
It's almost like this person worked somewhere that Darina and I have worked in the past. Yeah, this is tough.
We have answers and stories, Danny M. Thanks for your question.
What do we think? Steph, hearing from you, would you have stayed on in this situation, or what do you think he should have done or you would have done?
I think this is a very tough situation to be in. I think the way in which people were let go says a lot about the ethics of the company and the leadership in charge. If it's really disrespectful in a work environment that no longer suits what you're comfortable with, I wouldn't have stayed. I also want to say that sparingly with, I would hope that I could find another job before I quit if I did that. Like, selfishly, like, you want to be able to still survive if you can and figure that out. So I think it would have, like, how bad was it in the way that they were fired? But probably would have stayed until I could find another job.
It's super not selfishly too, Steph. I mean, people have families that they need to support. You know, they've got mortgages and rent. Yeah, mortgages, LOL. I wish I knew what that even was.
Again, everybody's working for the weekend. We got bills to survive. Because bills literally cover basic needs.
Well, not everybody, Dee, but the people here on this show.
The working class. Yes, yes, indeed.
Yes, for sure. I think this strikes a similar chord with me because I worked for a company for a while that I was actually, I really liked working at and really liked my job. And I was about to get put into a position where I had an even bigger role at that company. And I was promised a year of job security, saying that they would give, I had pitched them something with Darina, and that I was going to be able to have that play out for a year at least, and then we would see how it went. And so I remember being in the situation where I thought I had this job security, and then things change. You know, we went away for the holidays, and I took my sister on this massive vacation, and another lesson learned by me: don't blow all your money before you have your next paycheck, because even if it's promised to you, that doesn't fucking mean that you're getting it by any means, especially not in this industry. And so the day that I got back for this new gig and came into work all spruced up with my tan, I walked into the studio and I was told I didn't have a job anymore, and that there had been changes at the company and that I just didn't have a job anymore. But Dee was kind of in a different position there. So I know that Dee was able to keep not the job that we were going to do, but kind of transition into the job that she was originally hired to do. I mean, Dee, you can speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, it was a really weird situation because in most of these instances, Danny, like, there's good people on both sides, not to quote an asshole, but because there's people that were like Roxy, several people that were extremely talented and hardworking that were let go, like a lot of people. And then there was a few people like Roxy that also that were extremely talented and hardworking that stayed, right? And so they kept a very small group of people like me, but it was a weird thing. It was a weird position to be in because, number one, it was not the best way that they handled it, right? Like, it was not, I certainly wouldn't have handled it that way if I was the one that could make the decision as to how to do it and how to let go of somebody, because letting go of somebody is really shitty. So you want to plan that a little bit better, number one.
It was New Year's Day, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like that's an important note.
I think it was the second. Yeah, we got the first off. We came in on the second, and yeah.
Right. Number two, there was also like public bullshit going on, like people were tweeting about it. It was a whole freaking dramatic situation. And I immediately was like, well, do I want to stay at a place like this? And my gut said, I'm going to stay for like a couple weeks and see how things are, in the sense that maybe I can help the people that are still here that I also love, like Roxy and the other people that left. I tried my best for a little bit. I tried to talk to the boss and the team that was there and figure things out to see if we could make this a little bit of a better atmosphere with the crazy drama that had happened. And I just observed that it was not the case, that I would not be able to infiltrate or make any sort of big influential decisions or help make these influential decisions for the company to actually like succeed and help out the people, the team that I love that was still there. So at that point, I decided I am going to leave with the people that were let go, right? And like a couple of weeks later, I was like, thank you for the opportunity, peace. So I don't know if that answers your question, Danny, but that's kind of what I did. I kind of waited it out a little bit and tried to see if things could work out. And I realized that that was not the case. And then I literally told the team, love you guys, but I'm going to get out of here. And then Roxy called me and was like, let's start the World Girls. And it was great.
Straight up. You know, I think that that's a great bit of advice, though, Dee, because I think that you really tried to make an impact. And if you were going to stay, you knew you wanted to stay under the qualifications or under the guidelines that you were going to change the way things were run from the inside. And when you figured out that that was not actually going to be the case, that's when you decided to leave. I remember thinking that one of the weirdest parts about that, and Danny, if or anybody in Danny's situation who does decide to step away, one of the weirdest things was that everybody thought that, like me, Darina had been let go because the timeline was so similar, and everybody tweeting and saying like, so sorry, Dee, that you lost your job. And I remember thinking, this is such a tough position for Dee to be in right now, because how does she navigate this? She doesn't want to be a dick and be like, actually, I didn't lose my job. Actually, I decided to leave because F this. It's just a really, really tough position to be in. If you do decide to step away, it's very challenging to navigate when everybody knows that you did keep your job and then made that choice. I never envied that position of yours, Dee.
It was a weird time, but I think the biggest thing to remember is really that most of these companies are run by specific, you know, CEOs and executives, and the people underneath don't get to make these decisions. So just remember that there's human beings literally on both sides, that there's human beings that are let go in these situations. Big companies do it all the time. Disney, Hertz, all of these big corporations will do massive layoffs for no reason when they get a freaking subsidy from the government, right? So like, just remember that there's human beings that have lost their jobs. And there's also human beings that are still working at these companies because they can't afford to like not have a job and just quit and have families, like Roxy was saying.
Such a good point, Dee. It'd be like being pissed at American Airlines and then treating your flight attendant like shit. It's like, that's not the person who did this. What are you talking about? That makes no sense. So yes, all across the board. Another amazing world friend, the Chub Toad, sending in a story. Chub Toad said, I had an employee try to kill themselves over a girlfriend breakup, and she worked for me too and had to talk him down. Chub Toad, I do not envy this position. This is wild child. Dee, what do you make of this? Any initial thoughts for Chub Toad?
Oof, what a crazy position to be in. And good on you that you were there to talk to the person, because there's literally nothing else you can do other than talk to a human being that's going through this, because a lot of us obviously have gone through dark times. And so I can't imagine, like, it's already hard to navigate those things with like a friend or a family member, let alone someone that you really don't know or that works for you. So good on you for doing that, because I obviously would have tried to help as well, instead of like, you know, sending them to HR or something. I would have, like, the first thing I think of is that this person needs a human being right now, not a boss.
Yeah, but brutal when they need a human being, not a boss, but then their other employee, the other coworker, is the person that's causing them all the pain, or that they're feeling the pain from. Steph, something tells me that you've got some thoughts on this one.
Yeah, definitely do. I actually think it might be better that she worked in the same location, because they could communicate. I don't know. Who knows? But I went through a similar situation where, and Roxy was there too, for a part. We were at different parts of the situation, but we had a coworker who went to a 3-day festival. And in that 3-day festival, candy flipped many times, which is where you take acid and Molly and mix it with other drugs at the same time. And, you know, people can do this once and probably have an okay time, but it is very warned against to do multiple days in a row. You shouldn't even do one hallucinogenic multiple days in a row because you are literally messing with the chemistry in your brain. And what happened was exactly what everybody's biggest fear who goes to festivals happen is where your brain scrambles and you are just literally in the sunken place. And the person, it's like, I've never seen it in person until this. I had been made aware of the situation by Roxy because she was there the night that he came back from the festival, right?
I was called because my coworkers knew that I was like a safe place to land, and he had gone to another coworker, and I think he was suicidal and super fucked up, and he was supposed to come into work the next day, and he was like, can you cover for me? I'm gonna kill myself. I can't be here anymore. But like in scrambled jambled words that were not full sentences. And so yeah, they called me, and I went to go see him that night just to like try and literally talk him off of a ledge. And it was like talking to somebody who did not speak English. Like, it was like talking to somebody that you could not communicate with because the language barrier of scramble jamble brain and person who like wants to help you, there was no in between. There was no communication happening. It was really scary. And so I think a couple people stayed with him all night, and then they didn't want to leave him alone. And for some reason, I guess the decision was made that he was going to go into work that day. Maybe there was like an hour in which he was feeling better, or maybe they just didn't want to leave him alone. So anyway, he ended up at work the next day where Steph was.
Where I was, which I was also the person who was the safe place to land because I have been around drugs and addicts and come downs and come ups for years. And so I sat in the room with him, and I've never experienced anything like this. And I've been with people who have had really bad trips, but I was still able to communicate with them. I wasn't able to communicate. He wasn't registering the words. So all you can do is stay. And I am a type of person, because I'm human, I get really tested in these situations, and you get frustrated and you want to just like be like, I don't want to deal with it. But then you have to remind yourself that the moment you look away, something can happen, and it's just not worth it. So I stayed there, and then I had to make the really hard decision coming back to snitching, because it's like you really don't want to like air people's business out. But his family had to be involved in this. You know, like this was a life or death situation. Once you could really see it, it really was that serious. And so I ended up getting a hold of his parents, which at the time I didn't know this. They were immigrants and didn't know barely any English. And all of their English speaking children who were ESL were not around. So I have really bad Spanish, but I was able to do some Spanglish, at least enough to explain to come. But I have family who are immigrants. They don't understand these types of issues either. It's like a kind of an American thing in a lot of ways. And so explaining that was one thing, and hoping that they knew what, I don't think they would know what to do with that. But like, so all you could do is just stay with the person, tell their loved ones, and check in. And I don't know if that's the best thing you can do, but that's what I did in that situation.
Really tough. Yeah. And then they came. And then his parents came. And it was so hard because also I think about corporate America, right? And like this kind of situation probably sounds so foreign to anybody who has an office job where you don't know anything about each other's life. But a lot of time as artists, you end up learning a lot more about each other's lives. And like the other option besides calling his family would have been calling the police. Like there is no option in which nobody was called. So it felt like the more humane, better thing to do. But just so tough when people's mental health, drug usage, anything like that gets involved, and you're like, I'm a coworker. I don't know what to do as a as a coworker.
Yeah, if only we put in that much budget and effort and time into helping people with these types of issues, as opposed to just like, just send the cops.
That was Roxy and I's last choice. We would not have not done that.
It didn't cross my mind to call the cops.
Yeah.
No, because what could they freaking do?
It did cross my mind to go to the emergency room, but then I was like, I don't even know what they do.
If he's insured, I didn't want to screw over his family. I don't know immigration things. Like, there's so many things.
Totally. Totally. D, what's going on with our friend Jake?
Jake Yacovera says, I was working at a gas station on Halloween with the dead president's face, paint, all black clothes, black beanie, behind the register, and someone thought I was robbing the place. I had to follow her outside and convince her to not call the cops.
This is like really bad to say, because I understand that essentially I'm saying, why did you wear your skirt so short if you didn't want to get catcalled? But Jake, I feel like a little bit of this is on you. Like,
yeah, was he wearing, is it basically a Point Break costume? Like, he's wearing like Nixon's face or something? Look, dude, like, you're lucky you're white, dude. That's all I'm saying.
Well, how would anybody have known he was a white dude?
That's true, because he was wearing a mask.
He had a mask on.
This is hilarious, but I gotta just comment, Roxy's metaphors today are just slang. So slang.
Really sorry about that. At least it was Halloween, though. I feel like it's easier to convince somebody on Halloween. Like, you could really murder a bunch of people on Halloween, and I wouldn't bat an eye thinking that it was part of a thing. Yeah, not at saying anybody should do that, but if I saw anybody looking like anything in a gas station on Halloween, I'd be like, oh, it's Halloween.
Yeah, I literally got to a side note here. I watched my favorite Halloween movie in the theater last night, Trick or Treat, and there's literally a scene where a girl is being killed in a parade and nobody's batting an eye because she's covered in blood, and they're like, she's just playing a costume.
Oh god.
Somebody that we know can fuck because their last name is Bacon, and all people who love bacon can fuck. And if you didn't understand that reference, you should watch The World Girls more often, because we know that vegans can't fuck. Anyway, moving on. Crispy Bacon, Steph, what's he got for us?
We don't know that. Roxy does. Do not clump us into your war against vegans.
It is the weirdest thing that Roxy believes in. The strangest.
Are you guys trying to say that bacon can't fuck?
No, bacon can fuck. I agree.
Yep.
Okay. Upper management provided the verbiage to create/post a web page with lots of grammatical errors. I corrected all the errors and posted it. He came back several hours later with corrective input. All of the original grammatical errors were put back in.
What do you do at this point? Do you like double down, tap in twice? D, you are our grammar and spelling queen. What's your thought process here?
Dude, it sucks when you're this is upper management is what specifically Chris is talking about. It really sucks when management or your boss is more incompetent than you are. Like, that's what it comes down to here. Because at this point, it's just a pride thing. Like, the fact that you're coming back with a red pen, like you're the teacher, was probably an ego boost to them. And they're like, nah, this is fine. It's fine. Why are you changing it? Change it back, because I'm the boss. It's a completely ego thing. There's not much you can do about it. You did the right thing. Like, you literally, like, you're like, this is incorrect. I'm editing it for you because I'm assuming you care about the company. But apparently they care more about their ego than the company.
Steph, honestly, if this happens to you, are you saying something to upper management again, or you're just letting the grammar fly?
Okay, so if I'm working for corporate America and my name isn't printed on this, I don't give a shit. I'm letting it fly. If y'all want to print this, go off. If my name is on this shit, and it's something I care about, I'm saying, so I think maybe there's like a little, I just want to double check this with you really quick. No, I'm just like as soft as possible. But if it's not my name on it, go off with your bad self.
Steph's pointing it out, like the rehearsal. Like, there, and there are three different theirs. Can you believe that? Did you know that?
Yeah. That's funny. Did you? Yeah, like super exactly like the rehearsal. I would subconsciously plant it into their heads.
You got to. Did you see that recumbent bike go by?
It's such a good word.
All right, Nate, what you got for us, Chancy Danger? Properly scheduled 2 days off to be in a wedding. New boss calls me week of to tell me I have to go through and I can't go. You have to decide what's more important, your job or being in a wedding. I said the wedding and walked out. Left that job 2 months later.
Hell yeah, Nate. That's why your name is Danger. Is what I would have done if I could afford it, obviously. Not everybody can do this, but I'm assuming you quit 2 months later because you found another gig. But yeah, that boss sucks. That boss has zero respect for people's work-life balance, and that is insane. So good on you.
Yeah, that's so toxic. And asking those types of rhetorical questions to people are so bizarre. Like, what do you mean what's more important, work or being in a wedding? Like, if I'm in a wedding, that means that's one of my day ones or my family getting married. I'm not going to celebrate one of their most important days.
I'm just also super curious what the job was, because if it's a job where you can schedule 2 days off for in advance, that means that likely you aren't like a cardiologist. You know, you're not saving somebody's, you know, you're not Secret Service, probably. So it's like
your military being deployed.
Right. Like, what happened that your boss was like, this is so vital that what's more important, your job or your friends?
Or Staples United.
Yeah. Just like, what, bitch?
It's those bosses that are much, I'm hope that we're getting rid of as time goes on, that literally lead or think they have to lead through fear, and that's how they get respect. And it is the dumbest thing that anybody has ever taught people to do.
Dee, we have an amazing last one that I know you were super excited about coming in from our world friend. You want to hit me with it?
So this is Jeff Graham. Some of you may know him as a movie director. And he says, working with Roxy Stryer and Steph Zabra basically is the biggest workplace conundrum he's ever had. JK, 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 it's a joke. He directed Always Lola. It's pretty funny. I like that. Thank you, Jeff.
We did work with him, though. We love Jeff. It's such an honor that he listens to this. I'll tell you one thing. There's like two people, not two. There's probably like five people that I work with in the industry or have worked with where I genuinely respect and appreciate their opinion on all things entertainment, what they're listening to, what they're watching. Jeff is one of them. So the fact that Jeff listens to this, I'm like, wow, let's fucking go.
I completely agree. It's really honoring, not just to Jeff, although specifically to Jeff right now, but also to all of our friends and family who apparently didn't know we've had a company for the last 2 years, because every single person that I talked to was like, I love your podcast. And I'm like, you didn't watch any of our YouTube shows. You just haven't been paying attention to anything else. They're like, this new podcast is amazing. So shout out to all of my friends and family out there, and to Dee's and Steph's, who all of a sudden think that the World Girls are new because we have a podcast. Y'all are the homies.
That's right. Gracias totales.
We also, of course, have our Patreon question of the week. If you want to be cool like our patrons, go to patreon.com/theworldgirls. We have a tier that allows you to ask a question every week, and we pick one of the special ones. This is coming from our EP, John Lestrina, who says, I've always wanted to get fired for doing something cool, like telling someone to fuck off or knocking someone out. What do you think is a cool thing to get fired for? I don't know about knocking someone out, bro.
Yeah, getting caught in footage in the January 6th Capitol storm. Yeah, brother. No, that'd be so embarrassing. Could you imagine?
Yeah, that would be.
That'd be so embarrassing and deserved. I think if your boss did something so egregious and you just had to stand up for someone that was being abused in the workplace, and you just were like, I can no longer be cordial, there might be a better route, but today I'm going to choose verbal violence, and you do like the big fuck you, I think that would be pretty badass. Or when that guy on that, I know this wasn't, he didn't get fired for this, but when he was like, D, what is that? He went to some like political meeting and he's like, I give my time, fuck you.
Oh my goodness. This man is known as a Los Angeles local hero.
Hero.
Hero. When he spoke to the city council people that 80% of them suck, and basically just went off on all of these police violence, literally like police brutalizing old men like that are walking in the street, like just crazy shit during the Black Lives Matter protests. And he ends with, I yield my time. Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
I yield my time. Fuck you.
Legend.
That's the way.
That's really good.
My first thought for this was actually Chris Smalls. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him, but he got a little bit popular recently because he's one of the Amazon labor union leaders that a lot of people that try to have conversations with their coworkers about unions, not just at Amazon, but at Starbucks and other companies, get usually let go. Right? Because a lot of these awful, greedy CEOs like Jeff Bezos basically don't want people to unionize because that means they have to give their employees rights. And so I think that's a pretty cool way to get fired, especially when you come back and not 2 years later, this man was able to create the first Amazon labor union in Staten Island in New York. That's like the biggest fuck you that you can give to a boss.
Totally.
A shitty boss, that obviously.
I know somebody in corporate America who got fired for accidentally fucking their girlfriend on a Zoom call. So I think that would be a really incredible way to get fired.
Incredible.
Incredible.
If you're going to go out with a bang, literally.
Literally go fuck yourself.
Go. I yield my time. Fuck you.
And fuck me.
Go out with an orgasm.
Speaking of yielding our time, I think we yield our time for the day. So thank you all for being a bitch out of water with us and for trying to sort through these conundrums. P.S. We hope that you drank every time we said conundrum. You're probably wasted right now. If you want to get all things World Girls, go to patreon.com/theworldgirls so you can watch our podcast tapings live, ask questions, see our faces, and get a bunch of cool benefits while being part of the best community. We go live on youtube.com/theworldgirls every Wednesday and newly Monday nights. And don't forget to follow us on social media, on Twitter and TikTok at The World Girls and on Instagram at World Girls WAP. The most helpful thing you can do to support our podcast is tell your friends, subscribe, and leave a review. That's a 5-star review, baby. So please help a World Girl out. And remember, when in doubt, you can always quit. Shit, that advice only works for rich people. Guess we're just gonna have to hang tight, be tough, and figure it out. Stay wet, my friends.